The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
There's a big debate raging on Capitol Hill right now about net neutrality across the country, actually. This after an FCC proposal to scrap the Obama administration's net neutrality rules. Joining us now to discuss it, Brendan Carr. Brendan, thanks so much for joining us here on Mornings on the Mall.
Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Glad to have you, sir. So what's your take on all of this, on net neutrality?
Yeah, there's a lot of sort of misinformation that's been floating around out there. And December 14th, the FCC is going to vote on a decision that will return us to the exact same regulatory framework that governed the Internet in 2015 and for the 20 years that preceded it. And people are very, very passionate about this issue, and rightly so. You know, the Internet has changed our lives. And, you know, we definitely have heard those concerns and heard people's positions. And the claim that what we're doing is going to end the Internet is obviously pretty overblown.
Now, Brendan, as an FCC commissioner, you must be hearing from a lot of people who are concerned that what will happen if you know, the government jumps out of the regulation business here is that it's just going to explode the cost of people being able to pay for the Internet, because everything will be, you know, there'll be user fees on all sorts of things, from the major 4K video we're consuming to our Netflix accounts to our Hulu accounts. Do you think those risks are fictional?
I do. Here's why. The concerns that people are expressing about the costs of their Internet, or this idea that they're going to be moved into a bundled or curated Internet offering where you have to pay more to get this website or more to get that website, we're not seeing that today. And the reason is not because of what we call Title II regulations, the regulations that we're going to remove. There are other reasons why that's the case. Those other reasons are going to continue to be in place after the FCC's vote. Again, we're just going back to the same regulatory environment in 2015. We are not eliminating all restrictions and prohibitions on ISP conduct. I think that's an important distinction.
Yeah, and here's the thing, from what I understand, people prefer that the government regulate this, so, you know, because government regulation is always so effective. Right? Look, stand in line at an airport. So they would prefer, of course, the left wants the government to regulate this as opposed to big evil business. But they're missing the concept, at least in my brain, unless I'm not understanding this, that, you know what? If you pay for something better, you get something better. That's the way the system works in pretty much every aspect of our lives. Why should this be any different?
Yeah, I think that's right. And right now, you know, again, I've heard this concern about, you know, prices going up. The FCC's Title II regulations are not restricting the prices that broadband providers are charging. So removing Title II regulations does nothing to impact the price that consumers pay for their services. And moreover, to the point that you were talking about, we've heard concerns about, you can't do this step, it's going to violate our First Amendment rights. I think we got to go back sort of civics 101, which is the First Amendment is a protection that consumers have against the government. And so viewing removing government regulations as somehow impeding First Amendment rights has the First Amendment exactly backwards.
Well, you know, but others look at this and they say, look, the Internet, the infrastructure of the actual Internet within the United States has been heavily subsidized by the federal government. A lot of taxpayer dollars have actually gone into the structure here, into the pipes that we use to transmit this data. Doesn't that entitle the government and, in fact, mandate in some sense a role in regulating all those things?
No, I don't think so. So we do have some amount of subsidizing that has gone on, particularly in the most rural and hard-to-reach areas. We have an $8 to $10 billion a year fund that helps support broadband build-out in those areas. But the private sector has invested $1.5 trillion into these networks, and we need a massive amount of investment going forward to continue to maintain these networks, to get new services. And so we have to make sure that the private sector has the incentives to invest in these networks. It's not the government that's going to put the dollars up to get where we need to go.
I want to ask you also about the chairman of the FCC, Ajit Pai, because he has had protests raging outside of his White House, to include posters posted outside of his house, rather, with his children's names listed on them, and saying things like, "You should be ashamed. What do you tell your children?" What have you made of all of those protests?
it's quite shocking. I think if you go through, you know, his Twitter account or otherwise, I mean, you'll see just the most unbelievable, both racist attacks against him as a person, but then, as you note, people calling out his children by name, going to his neighborhood, showing up at his house. It's really unbelievable. Look, this is an issue, the internet, regulation of the internet, that, you know, sparks high passion. I get that, and there's plenty of room for reasoned debate here. But I think a lot of what we've seen has crossed the line, and it's part of, I think, a broader dehumanizing effort that's going on here. You know, when you refuse to engage on the merits with these decision makers, I think it sort of devolves into these attacks that we're seeing.
I have a question that I think a lot of people ask. Why can't we have competition? Why can't I have a choice in my internet provider? And wouldn't that help naturally drive costs down and just get people, make it more competitive?
Absolutely. And that's why Title II is the wrong framework. Title II is a framework that was designed in the 1930s for the AT&T monopoly. It's a framework that pushes us towards a monopoly. Here's why. We always hear about the largest providers, AT&T, Verizon, Comcast. Title II, our research shows, has hurt their investment. But the ones that have been hurt the worst are the smaller providers that you've never heard of, the ones that are trying to get into the market, the ones that are trying to compete. AT&T, Verizon, Comcast, they have armies of regulatory lawyers to deal with this whole Title II regime. The smaller providers don't. So if we want more competition, we got to decrease these regulations. We got to decrease the cost of Title II, and then we're going to see additional competition in the market.
All right, FCC Commissioner Brendan Carr, thanks very much for giving us an update. We look forward to having you back to discuss again.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.